got happy a bit later. I thought, you big meanie. But God is good, isn't he? Who here has received a healing from God? I have. I've had an immediate healing from God. God is a God who heals. Do you know why? Because he's a God of love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning you will speak to us all through this sermon. Amen. Now, we don't normally have the children in with us, and it's actually quite nice. However, if one of your children get really loud, it probably would be a good idea to go to the parents' viewing room just so that other people around can hear the sermon, okay? That's the only thing. Now, kids, I'm going to be looking at the pictures in the book that you colour in, and I think it would be a good idea on the page without anything on to actually draw a picture of baby Jesus in the stable. That would be really cool because there's none of those pictures in those books. Jordan, who bought them? Christmas is about Jesus, not gingerbread and Father Christmas. It's Jesus. So, children, could we draw a picture of Jesus as I speak? Okay. Karl Barth, often regarded as the greatest Protestant theologian of the 20th century, was once asked, "What is the greatest thought you ever had?" Now, just think about it. Karl Barth was an extremely intellectual man. He'd studied the Bible in great detail, and he knew the answers to many difficult biblical questions. And he was asked, "What is the greatest thought you ever had?" His answer, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." He quoted the most well-known simple Sunday school song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Out of all the things he could have said, this was his greatest thought, a thought that even a four-year-old child could comprehend. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Who here knows the song? Who here sung this song when they were a child or a teenager? Put up your hand. Wow, that's a lot of people. Well, let's sing it. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Now, all those children drawing, just stop for a minute. Parents, just go like that gently so they don't yell back at you. Let's see if you can sing this song. All the children, I want to hear you. In fact, children, stand up right now. All the children, stand. Quick. If you are, yes, 12 and under, stand. Okay, you ready, kids? Can you sing "Jesus Loves Me" with me? Okay, here we go. "Jesus loves me, this I..." No, stop. That's not loud at all. Can't hear a thing. Okay, a little bit louder than that. Maybe mums, you can help him a bit. Okay, here we go. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Give them a clap. If you are a born-again Christian today, put up your hand. Hallelujah. It is because you had a spiritual encounter with your Creator, which resulted in you having faith to believe in His love. When you first believed, you didn't just have faith, but you had faith in something. And that something was that God loved you. And His love was demonstrated in the sacrifice of His Son so that you could have eternal life. Your first seed of faith was based on God's love for you. Correct? That's how salvation begins. The Spirit of God reveals His love to you through the message of the cross. It is faith in the revelation of God's love that brings you salvation. That is the beginning of our Christian experience. Faith in God's love. The message is so simple that even young children may comprehend it. I did. I was 6 when I first realized that God loved me. Who was a child when they first realized that God loved them? Look at all those people. Isn't it wonderful? Is it good? I'm so blessed to have been a child from 6, a Christian from 6 years of age. It is a wonderful blessing. God loves you. And as we grow in our Christian experience, as we read His Word and spend time with Him and worship Him and enjoy the presence of the beautiful family of God, we begin to realize even more just how amazing His love is for us. J.I. Packer, in his book Knowing God, writes, "What matters supremely is not, in the last analysis, the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlines it is that He knows me. I am written on the palms of His hands. I am never out of His mind. All my knowledge of Him depends on His sustained initiative in knowing me. I know Him because He first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when His eye is off me or His attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when His care falters. This is momentous knowledge. There is unspeakable comfort in knowing God is constantly taking knowledge of me in love and watching over me for good. There is tremendous relief in knowing His love is utterly realistic, based at every point of prior knowledge of the worst of me, so that no discovery can disillusion Him about me in the way that I am so often disillusioned about myself, and quench His determination to bless me." Wow, what a revelation of God's love. Here's another one, David Redding. "There is no other blessing I can give you, no other gift so precious, no treasure so refreshing, nothing that can provision you for the journey we are all making than to tell you that someone is searching diligently for you. He is not a stationary God. He is crazy about you. The expense to which He has gone isn't reasonable, is it? The cross was not a very dignified ransom. To say the least, it was a splurge of love and glory lavishly spent on you and me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. A shepherd having 100 sheep, if he loses one, leaves the 99 to go after the one and searches diligently until he finds it. God is like that shepherd. That is enough to make me laugh and cry." God loves you. Even when you gave Him no pleasure, even when you served Satan and your behavior was a filthy, offensive stench to His nostrils, He still loved you. That is agape, God's love. As you know, if you've been in church for a while, if you've been reading the Word, there are several Greek words for love in the New Testament. But the two most common are philia and agape. Philia defines the love found among friends. It is an affectionate love that is conditional. Philia says, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Or you treat me kindly and I'll do the same. On the other hand, agape is the unconditional love of God. It is not based on performance, hallelujah, or even whether it is returned. It is a love that gives even when rejected. It is this love that God revealed to us on the cross. It is the revealing and consequent recognition of this love that sprouted the seed of faith within our hearts. So, in Christianity, our faith and love should go hand in hand. In fact, as far as God is concerned, faith is totally ineffective without love. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 13 says, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, that's a lot of faith, isn't it? But do not have love, I am nothing. Love is patient, parents. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But the greatest of these is love. As I said before, it is the knowledge of God's love which sprouts our hope and subsequent faith. We heard about God's love first. We began to hope that it was for us, and then suddenly we believed the message and knew by faith it was ours. That's why love is the greatest. It begins with love. God's love is ours. And when we realized that, we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. All together. Yes. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. This is why love is the greatest of them all. Because hoping outside of God's love and having faith in anything but God's love is futile. I'm going to say that again. Hoping outside of God's love and having faith in anything but God's love is futile. It all begins with God's love. Our new birth began with God's love. Jonah 2 verse 8 says this, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Why would they do that? Why would they turn away from God's love for them? If you are putting your hope and faith in anything else other than God, then you are turning away from God's love for you. And you don't want to do that. Your salvation is based on his love. It all begins with God's love. You got that, people? It all begins with God's love. To know God is to know that God is love. Listen to me now, congregation, because this is not a long sermon and I'm quickly coming to an end, but children are being brilliant. God is the invisible God through which everything has been created, and this awesome spirit is love. Love created the universe. Love created the world. Love created the plants. Love created man. Love created the animals. Love created woman for the lonely man. It was love who put it all together. It was love who wrote the Ten Commandments, which can be condensed into two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Furthermore, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not die but have everlasting life. He is the invisible God, but for our spiritual benefit, he became flesh to demonstrate his love for us. Hallelujah! He's the invisible God, but for our benefit, he became flesh to demonstrate his love for us. And then he allowed them to beat his flesh and torture his flesh for his love for us. God is love, and love is the motive for his every action. Anything happening in this world today that does not have a motive of love hurts the heart of God. Do you know how I know this? Because I hurt when I watch the news. And that's the Spirit of God in me. So the Christian who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. The Bible tells us that. The Christian who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. We're in God and he's in us. Doesn't get much closer than that, does it? We've been given the opportunity to be totally saturated in God's love. We have. When you're saturated in God's love, there's no fear. There's no fear of his punishment anymore, because his perfect love has dealt with my fear. It's gone. He took my punishment. His love took my punishment, and I don't have to fear it anymore. Hallelujah. There's a lot of fear in this world, but people have misplaced their fears. It's not demons people should fear. It's not ISIS or any other extremist group. It's not even Kim Jong-un, the pathetic leader of North Korea. It is the one whom demons will one day bow to who is worthy of our fear. But as far as I'm concerned, God's love has dealt with my fear. And I, a mere woman with all my physical, emotional, hormonal limitations, boldly approach his throne of grace because of his love. I get to hold my head up at the throne of God's grace. Hallelujah. Because of his love. God's love calls out to you to follow him. Like a mother whose child has strayed in a crowd of people. Who's ever lost a child in a crowd of people? It's terrifying, isn't it? It's absolute. When you can't find them and you're just frantically searching, it's terrifying. God calls to you like a mother whose child has strayed in a crowd of people. Jesus calls, come. Come to me, look for me, and you will find me. Follow me. I know the way. My love will show you the way. Love calls to the whole of humanity. Sadly, a large portion of humanity ignore the call and choose to go their own way. Others find Jesus and are glad for a little while to be with him, but they prefer to do things their own way. So they rebelliously let go of his loving hand, and they once again become lost in the sea of people going nowhere. Have you ever flown by plane to Singapore or Dubai Airport with the intention of catching a connecting flight elsewhere? Who's done that? Yes, a good number of you. At times, it can be pretty stressful ordeal when you get off the plane. Your immediate concern is to find where and when the next flight leaves, correct? Sometimes the terminal for the flight you've booked is a long way away. I mean a long way away. And so what do? You begin to look at all the airport signs which tell you exactly where you must go and by what time. And you do what the signs say. You also try and listen to any airport announcements just in case it may relate to you and your flight. It's heaps of fun when you're on a short-term missions trip with other church folk because you all read the signs together and you get different interpretations of where you must go. And some people think they know a better way than what the sign is indicating, but they don't, which results in everyone getting lost. On the last trip, at one point, we had one half of the team going up in the lift and the other going down an escalator. Can you remember that? All attempting to get to the same destination. I think we got separated because a lady convinced us that she knew a better way, or half of us anyway. Anyway, the point I'm arriving at is this. When you first get off the plane at a big international connecting airport, you'd be pretty stupid to have a rebellious attitude when it came to following the signs. No one in their right mind would say, "How dare the airport authority tell me what to do? What would they know? I'm going to find my next flight all by myself without looking at any directions from the airport authority. And furthermore, I'll decide what time my plane is leaving. When I get there, that's when it'll leave." This would be ludicrous, would it not? If a friend or family member carried on like this, you'd say, "Don't be an idiot." The airport authorities know what they're doing. They're giving you directions because they care and they don't want you to miss the next flight. Please do what they say. In the same way, the God of love is searching diligently for you so that he can correctly guide you through the journey of life. Just think about it. His love made life. Who knows more about life than the creator of life? And in love, he provides very clear instruction as to how we must live. Very, very clear. So that our lives are filled with his love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I urge everyone to receive his love this Christmas time. Be surrounded and filled by his love. You know, the other night I found it a little bit difficult to get to sleep. I had about 10 or 15 minutes there where I wasn't settling down, and I thought, you know, I could use this time just to think about God's love. And I just laid there thinking, wow, God, you're awesome. You're amazing. Your creation is so beautiful. How beautiful must you be if your creation is like it is? And I just sort of felt enveloped in God's love as I was thinking about his love. People, put your hope in his love and nothing else. You know, even as Christians, we have choices. And sometimes we choose to do something else other than focusing on God and what he wants and his love. He's not a dictator. He loves you. He is the lover of your soul. Lovers don't dictate. They gently say, come. Come to me. Let me show you how to do this in the best way possible for you. Put your hope in his love. Put your faith in his love. So this song truly becomes your experience. One more time. Children, you have been so good. Children, I want you to sing this song again with everybody else. Are you ready, kids? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Would everybody please close their eyes and bow their heads? Today, Jesus has spoken very clearly to us all. But maybe you are one of those people who have never, ever given your heart to him, have never, ever experienced God's love in your heart. And today he's calling for you. He's inviting you into his love. Don't say no to Jesus today as he calls you while eyes are closed and heads are bowed. If today you would like to invite this wonderful God of love into your heart, I would like you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Is there anyone here that would like to invite Jesus into their heart so you can truly sing, yes, Jesus loves me and you know it? Then I'd like you today to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Anybody else that would like to receive Jesus? That would like to say, yes, I see that little hand at the back. I see that hand there. Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Jesus is calling to you. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, today is the day to receive him into your heart. If you've put up your hand, I'd like you to come down the front here and I want to pray for you. Green Nanny, you need to bring Ezekiel down. Okay, I'm going to pray a prayer and I want you to repeat after what I say, after me what I say. So I'm going to pray some words and I want you to repeat what I say. Are you ready? Because Jesus is about to come into your heart. Okay, close your eyes and we're going to pray. There's someone else here. Are you ready? All right, close your eyes. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. I want to do the right thing. For you, Jesus. I pray that today you will come into my heart. I pray that I will never let you go. I love you, Jesus. and I know that you love me. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Isn't this good? Hallelujah. Well done. That's good, isn't it? Oh, praise Jesus. I didn't hear until 8:15 this morning that we didn't have children's church. Jordan told me, I went, "You what?" And he felt sorry for me. He goes, "I'll go and get some texters. I'll go and get the Christmas books." But, you know, as I began to walk around, I thought, no, the children need to hear this message too. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And my prayer as minister of this church is all the children that come into this church, we will not lose one of them. All of them will go to eternity knowing Jesus. Amen. And today when I was singing with the girls, I thought to myself, this is the first time I've ever sung with three unborn babies. How blessed are those babies that their mothers are singing praises to Jesus already, and they're hearing it. They're hearing the praises to Jesus. Isn't that good? What a beautiful gift, people. Is this a good Christmas present or what? Hallelujah. Band, come on down. We're going to sing one more song. One more song this Christmas Eve.